welcome back to the Live Out Loud podcast. My name is Aaliyah, and I am so excited. You guys, we are literally at the end of season one. I haven't decided how many more episodes I'm going to do, but probably like one or two. And then I'm headed to Seattle for 9 days to be with my family. And I'm really excited to see them and just be all together as a family unit and be like fully complete. And so I do plan on taking a break, ending right with the end of the year, and then I'll probably launch season two mid to late January. So I'm excited for season two. I already have some fun plans. And all I'm going to say is season two is the season we introduce guests. I've done this entire season, just me and the Holy Spirit talking it out. Y'all listen to me yap. And season two, I'm going to be bringing in some new voices. So just stay tuned. Just tuck that away. And so what are we talking about today? I sat down to record this earlier, but it was a little scattered. And honestly, it still might be a little scattered. But what I'm trying to get across in the whole, like, what could summarize the theme of this episode is the tension of not yet. How do we seek God in the tension of not yet? How do we remain patient and confident in the tension of not yet? And so maybe there's something that God has promised you and you believe that it is on its way. And you might have even noticed a shift in your spirit. You just feel like things are moving, but you don't know when, you don't know where, you don't know how, but you just, there's this like confident hope, this confident expectation. And so I want to address that because I can say that that is kind of what I've been going through. So my very first episode was all about walking through the hardest season of my life. And in parentheses, it said currently because I was still going through it. And I can say now it's been about 3 months. And so the whole thing that kind of sparked this episode is honestly, this is kind of like an update or a follow-up to where I am now versus where I was in that first episode when I launched. And so I definitely am still rounding out a wilderness, a really interesting season. But something is happening. There's changes being made, shifts, and I can't even, every friend that I talk to, let me not be dramatic, several people that I've talked to have also expressed this inexplicable hope that things were about to shift and change in their favor. And I talked to one friend, then a couple weeks later, I talked to another friend, and it was like friends who don't even live in the state anymore. And, you know, people that I see quite often, like it was literally like everyone I was talking to, all of my friends that I know are locked in with the Lord, are expressing that there is just like this sense of like confident expectation that God is going to do what he said he's going to do. And there's no true tangible thing that's happened, no clear indicator or rhyme or reason why we would have this hope, because the world only, our human minds only grasp onto hope when we have a little something to grasp onto. And we're like, ooh, yes, like this one thing happened. Now I can have hope. Now I can see it. Now I know it's happening. Whereas nothing's really happened, but there is just this shift, this supernatural shift in our spirits that God is answering prayers. He's fulfilling promises. Now I know, like he always is. He is who he says he is. I talked about that in episode 3. I think God is not a girly pop. He's going to do what he said he's going to do. And so we have a responsibility as believers who trust and believe in him to ensure that we're not growing complacent, we're not growing passive in our faith. And so I want to talk about today, and you know, when we talk about the not yet and the waiting, I know our minds automatically go to marriage and, you know, waiting on your spouse or babies and waiting, you know, to conceive. And so, yes, those things are real. I am actively walking through that waiting and confident hope and expectation that God will join me with my God ordained spouse. But I'm actually not even, or at least for me, I talk with my hands and I whack the microphone, my bad. At least for me personally, I'm not even talking about marriage or anything like that. I'm talking about some other things in my life that I hope to be able to share really soon. There's been some things in the last year that have been going on and I have not been able to share for many reasons. Nothing super crazy or juicy. So before people start plotting and scheming and making up assumptions, nothing too crazy. But I know that it's a testimony in the working and I'm really excited to be able to share when, like, what God does with all of that. I'm so excited. But anyways, so I'm actually not talking about like babies, marriage, things like that. And maybe that's what it is for you. And so that's amazing. That's great. That's fine. But I also was wrestling with this idea and this notion of surrender. And that's where things kind of got scatterbrained. But I was thinking about different sayings we hear all the time in Christianity. Let go and let God. Yes. Stop praying for control. Surrender a situation. Surrender to whatever the outcome is that God wants you to have. But letting go doesn't mean doing nothing. It doesn't mean sitting on your bum and twiddling your thumbs. Hey, bars. It ain't sitting on your bum and twiddling your thumb. Not sitting on your bum and twiddling your thumb. No. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You're going to open up the word and... Okay. All right. I'm done with that. But anyways, it doesn't mean that you just do nothing. It doesn't mean that we just passively walk through life waiting for something good to happen to us. We have truly, if we want to live and walk in a fruitful life and have a true intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, we have to open up his word. And we have to commune with him. And I'm going to get into that in a little bit. But like I said, first little saying, little fluffy saying, I'm not mad at it. Let go and let God. But that does not mean sitting on your bum and twiddling your thumbs. Sitting on your bum. Okay. Anyways. Okay. So next, another common saying we hear. If you're waiting for God to open a door, praise him in the hallway. Yeah. Praise him in the hallway. For real. Like, yes, I'm all about praise. I will never, ever, ever tell somebody to not praise God, okay? That will never come from my lips. You will never hear me saying that. But what I have to say to that is, if we're envisioning, sometimes when I hear this, I envision a hallway. Maybe like Love is Blind, and you're like waiting for the pod door to open. I don't know if you said, anyways. But I envision a hallway, and I envision many doors down one side of the hallway, and we're waiting for our door to be opened. And as we're waiting, we're literally just sitting hopelessly, glum, solemn, praising him in a little hum, like, Jesus, you said you'd come. That's what I envision. And I don't like that. That's not what it is. If we're going to praise him in the hallway, we're going to be running up and down that hallway, okay? We're going to be shouting. Let me just say, it's no secret. I think it's pretty obvious that I'm pretty charismatic in my faith. And I envision running up and down, being caught with the ghost, caught up in the ghost, hooting and hollering, praying in tongues, because we are going to actively wait. I'm not sitting. I'm doing laps. I'm running back and forth. And you know what? I also envision other people waiting for their doors to open. And guess what? I'm encouraging them along the way. Your door's going to open up, baby. Come on, let's run together. Let's praise God together. Ooh, I love it. I love it here. Okay. So all that to say, yes, praise him in the hallway, but praise him for real. Praise him because he's good. We don't want to praise out of this, like, hope that, I remember, this is what I'll say. I remember one time I was like worshiping God and something was like, just, there's like this blockage. There was just this wall. Something was weird. And I felt like God was like, you are praising from this place of thinking that your praise is what gets my attention. And you already have my attention. So don't, he was like, I don't want you praising me thinking that that's what's going to make me stop what I'm doing and look to you. I'm already looking at you. Praise me because of that. Praise me out of your love, out of your adoration. Don't praise me because you think you have to get my attention. Baby, you have my attention. You have my attention. And what does the Bible tell us about our praise? That God inhabits the praises of his people. We already have his gaze, but when we praise him, ooh, that's when his presence is able to rest. That's when we feel and sense and know him in a way that cannot be explained in words, when we praise him. There's a promise of God's presence in our praise. P, 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 the promise of God's presence in our praise. Okay, anyways, where was I at, girlfriend? Where was I at, girly? Okay, now I want to talk about how we think we need to act when we're waiting on God for something. Because I've caught myself doing, I'm calling myself out. Like I said, this every time, every episode, I'm calling myself out. I'm airing out my business, okay? And maybe it's yours too. But all I'm saying is, if we aren't careful, we get real good at faking it. We get real good at looking like everything is all good. Like, if we're sticking with that hallway analogy, it's easy for us to put a smile on our face and, you know, roll our shoulders back and have good posture and expect that door to open at any moment. And we just have this fake grin on our face and we're just waiting. And then we start to look constipated because we're smiling so hard and we're waiting for that door to open and it's not. And it's like, I'm smiling. I'm happy. Like, look at me. I'm doing so good. And it's like, no, you're not. You look like you're pooping yourself. You look like you're booming yourself and you're not being real. And God can see right through you. God knows you on a molecular level. You think he doesn't know that you're faking it? Baby, he knows what literally every part of you looks like inside and out. Physical, spiritual, mental, emotional, everything. He knows everything. So we need to stop faking it. We can get really good at pretending like we're surrendered or looking like we have faith. But in reality, we're frozen. In reality, we're not making a move. In reality, we're holding our breath. I remember I was in college. I think this was my sophomore year. And my dad was having a major heart surgery. And it was really sudden. And I kept saying, Lord, I trust you. Lord, I know that everything's going to be okay. Lord, I trust you. I trust you. But there was this like just weight in my chest. And finally, the Holy Spirit was like, are you trusting me or are you just holding your breath? Because there's a difference. Like, do you actually have faith or are you just holding your breath? And what happens when we hold our breath for too long? You die. Well, okay, actually, I think you will pass out first, right? And then you probably will start breathing automatically because you passed out. But anyways, we need to breathe, right? We need to breathe. So we need to stop pretending like everything is fine. Like, we're just so jolly and gung-ho. Maybe you are, and that's great. You're not pretending. But I know for me, there's been situations where I'm like, ooh, I know that if I look like I'm doing so good, God is going to open up this door, answer this prayer, or deliver this promise even sooner. Because look at me, I look like I'm doing so good. But you're not. But I wasn't. And it's so funny because as I was preparing for this episode, I realized, what good is it to pretend like we have it all together when that was the whole point of this season, this testing, this trial, this in-between, this not yet, was to make us realize that we don't have it all together and that we need to cling to God. That was the whole point of this. So where are we going and what are we doing if we're pretending like everything is okay, if we're pretending like, you know, we're not having doubts or we're not wavering, or what if we're pretending like it's okay? Address those doubts, address those waverings, address those feelings, address them, take them to God. Because guess what? It's not your job to be your own rock. That's God's. Some days we may wake up expectant and eager and hopeful. And other days we may wake up feeling so discouraged, feeling forgotten and abandoned by God. But guess what? He is our steady constant, our firm foundation. It was never us, baby. It was never you. You were never steady, bro. You were never steadfast. It's literally, Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. It says Christ is a firm foundation, not you. Not you, baby. You're not a firm foundation. You are as wavy as the wind in the tossing seas, boy. But guess what? We get to build our life. We get to build our life on the rock. So it's really not about if you wake up one day feeling it and you wake up one day and you're not feeling it. It's really about what you choose to do with that. It's really about where you choose to go. That basically leads me into two really important things that we need to do when we're in this in between, when we're in this waiting, when we're in this not yet, when we're in this not quite, almost, just a little bit more. What do? Now, the first thing is, like I said, we go to God, and I started to touch on this, but is to be honest with Him. Be honest. Be open and honest. You're not going to get anywhere if you're pretending like everything is okay. No, you can acknowledge that you're mad at God. You can acknowledge that you're struggling. You can acknowledge that you've grown bitter. I had to do that literally last week. Literally last week, I had to acknowledge that I had grown bitter. Now, a situation had transpired in my life, and I was so focused because a tactic of Satan is to get you to be unforgiving and to be bitter and hard-hearted. That's a tactic of the enemy. And so I was so focused on not becoming bitter towards people, towards a situation. I was so focused on that bitterness actually just shifted onto God. And because I got to a point where I realized, like, okay, people are people. They're going to mess up. They're going to make mistakes. Like, I expect that from people. But God, why are you allowing this to happen for so long at that? People make mistakes, but God, you are perfect. You're perfect. You're my perfect God. So why are you allowing this to happen to me? And so I had to really, I practice what I preach. I told you guys to journal when you're feeling far from God or when you're in a rut or something's off. Journal. I had to do that. I pulled out my journal. I started writing. And I started writing things that I was like afraid to write. Because honestly, I think a struggle for me in the past and being transparent with God was thinking that if I acknowledge this, if I say, God, I'm feeling this way, it makes it true. It doesn't make it true. It doesn't make it true. Okay, you can acknowledge that you're struggling and that you're bitter and that you're angry or that whatever. You can acknowledge that, and it doesn't have to be your portion forever. Actually, now that you've acknowledged that, you get to lay that at the feet. Lay it at His feet. And let Him work. Let Him do the work. Let Him soften up. Let Him soften your heart again. Let Him heal your heart again. Let Him make it whole. But I had to acknowledge these things. So I'm journaling. I should have brought my journal in here. I'm journaling and I'm saying, God, like, I realize I think I'm bitter towards you. Which is like, me bitter towards my perfect God? Yeah. Yeah, it actually happened. I know, it's crazy. But yeah, so for real. Anyways, I acknowledge that I'm journaling that. And I even acknowledge that a certain situation had blinded my perspective so much that it was hindering my ability to experience gratitude. Like, our pastor had just preached that Sunday, like 2 days before, all about gratitude, all about the power of praise and our thanksgiving. And this situation was blinding me from, I literally wrote down, I said, God, I know that I have things to be thankful for, but I can't see them. Literally, point blank, I told him, I was like, I need you to help me surrender the situation, and I need you to transform my perspective, and I need to see things from your point of view, because I know that I have so much to be grateful for, so much to be thankful for, but I need you to help me because the situation is blinding me. The situation is driving a wedge between you and I. And now I'm not talking about, you know, it's so easy to be like, oh, it's so easy to feel shame or condemnation for having a certain feeling that we don't bring it to God. He's the only one who can help you. He's the only one who can fix it. I know it's so easy to grow frustrated, angry, bitter, all these negative emotions to... Okay, my podcast recorder died, but I'm back. All right. Like I was saying, I know it's so easy for these difficult situations, these prolonged seasons of waiting and wondering when things are going to happen and knowing God spoke and God said and when is it going to happen. It's so easy, honestly, for a lot of negative emotions to harbor in our hearts. And if we don't acknowledge it, if we don't uproot them, they will fester. They will grow. And that's the exact opposite of what we want to happen. So that first thing I think is really big is being vulnerable, being open and honest. I think, okay, sticking with that praise him in the hallway analogy, sometimes you're not going to feel like praising him in the hallway. That's why it's literally in the Bible so many times called a sacrifice of praise. Sacrifices don't feel good. Sacrifices aren't what you want to do. So sometimes you might not be running up and down that hallway, shouting and jumping and rejoicing. Sometimes you might be laying on the floor, weeping and sobbing. But guess what? You're still waiting. You're still talking to God. You're still crying out to him. So the biggest thing, being open, being honest, not allowing hidden emotions and different things to fester or harbor, because if those go unaddressed, they can wreak havoc in your life. I guess, I don't know, that might be my first point, and it honestly might be my only point, because I think we're about a good 25 minutes in, but I do want to share what my pastor shared with us on Sunday, last Sunday, and he said, I believe he was quoting somebody else. He actually told us who said it. I don't remember who said it. But anyways, there comes a point where you don't pray your way out of something. You praise your way out of something. And I thought, yes. Yes. Because like I said earlier, the praise is what a promise of the presence is. If we want anything, oh my goodness. I keep thinking about when David said, the one thing I ask, the one thing I seek most is to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. What else did he say? He says, meditating in his temple and delighting in his glories or something like that. Something close to that, right? And why is that the one thing he's asking? The one thing he's seeking most is to dwell in the house of the Lord, because that's the most important thing. That is literally the most important thing that we could ever do, or a most important place we could ever be, is in the house of the Lord, in his presence. That's the most perfect place. And as I was reading that and thinking about that, I thought about how David was longing for heaven, because that's what heaven is. David was longing for heaven. And we hadn't even seen the coming of the Messiah. And David was longing for heaven. And God did what no man could do. God sent his son, fully God and fully man, to die a death that we deserved. We deserve. My pastor just talked about this at our Christmas banquet. He did a little sermon on Christmas and just the importance of this time. And he said, Christ took what we deserved, and in turn, we receive everything he deserves. Think about that for a second. Christ took on our penalty, all of our sin, all of our wrongdoing, everything that was wrong with us and our nature, the wrath of God for all the evil and all the sinful things that we humans do and have done, that God's wrath was placed on Jesus, the perfect, sinless, atoning sacrifice. Everything was placed on him. So now we receive the righteousness Christ initially had, and Christ still has, obviously, but we receive that righteousness. We are now clothed in righteousness. Righteousness. We are now clothed in the right. Clothed. Hello. I'm almost done. Stick with me. We are now clothed in the righteousness of Christ Jesus. And now we get to dwell in the house of the Lord. Before we weren't even worried. We couldn't even be in his presence. We couldn't even be. We were so unclean. And when Jesus died, when Jesus gave up his spirit, the veil, that veil in the temple was torn in two, meaning there was no separation between God and man. And my pastor pointed out something, and I thought it was amazing, that the veil, when it split in the Bible, it tells you that the veil tore from top to bottom, meaning that God did it. Because who got up that high? Because these temples, y'all can look back and see the dimension of these temples. These temples were tall. These weren't little shacks. These were tall, elaborate buildings. And so we have this veil, this tall, elaborate veil. And the moment Christ gives up his spirit is when the veil is torn in two from the top to the bottom. Only God could have reached that. Only God could have did that. And I don't even know where I go. Where did this come from? I just want to preach about Christ. That's honestly what it is. But anyways, all that to say, in this season, in this tension of not yet, of waiting on a promise from God, yes, we read his word, we seek him, but we have to be honest about what's going on the inside of us. We don't have to pretend like we have it all together. We don't have to pretend like we're just waiting so perfectly and patiently. If you can do that, good for you. Because I can tell you right now, things have been far from perfect. But somehow, not somehow, but by the grace of God, I've managed to grow in Christ. Because I took those moments and those times when I said, God, you know what? I'm feeling X, Y, and Z. Who did I run to? I went to God. And then again, I've sprinkled throughout this whole conversation has been the importance of praising and thanking our God and remembering. Oh, this is what I'll end with. After I journaled, this is where I was intending to go, making my way back, rounding it back. After I had journaled and been really open and honest about the bitter feeling that I had towards God and the struggle to see to have gratitude and to be thankful. After I released that and wrote a prayer, a really vulnerable, open and honest prayer, desperate for God to touch my heart, touch my mind, transform my life, I started to recall amazing things that God did. I started to recall just so much. I had so much to be thankful for. I started to recall these things. I started to declare and remember these things. And that is when transformation happened. That is when there was a shift that took place. And even later on that day, I ended up having an encounter, something that happened that actually solidified that God was indeed moving and that things were progressing forward. And so all that to say, I don't know where you are currently, because I feel like we're all waiting for something. Even if it's the return of Jesus Christ, we're literally all waiting and expecting something. And so what do we do while we wait? Well, we stay rooted and we fend off that enemy that tries to get us. The enemy doesn't want you waiting, bro. Okay, the enemy, I'm not trying to be that Christian. It's like the enemy. But I also don't want to be that Christian that doesn't talk about him, because people forget the enemy literally wants to destroy you. He wants to devour you. Okay, so as we're waiting, one of the best ways that we can stay strong, yes, rooted in the word of God, the sword of the spirit, but also being open and honest, because the enemy will plant things in our minds and different sow seeds of doubt, and then he's waiting to see what you do with that. He's waiting to see if you'll take it to God, or he's waiting to see if you'll just let it fester if you'll just sit there and be tormented by it. He's waiting to see. I saw a reels and it was really informative. It said, we treat the enemy how to treat us. And at first I was like, huh? But then she was like, when the enemy sows these seeds in our minds, these lies, different things, he's waiting to see how you're going to react to it. Because if you run to that word, if you run to the throne room, if you run to God, he knows he's defeated. So be open, be honest, be vulnerable, be open with God. Ooh, I know I say that so much, but it's truly been the biggest thing that's transformed my entire relationship with God is being honest with him. And I think about how the Bible says many will come to me and da 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 da, and he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. Not that you never knew me. He doesn't say you never knew me. He says, I never knew you. And so I want God to know me. I'm going to be open and honest and vulnerable with him. He's going to know what's going on in my heart. I'm not holding it back from him. I'm not hiding it from him. If there's a struggle, if I say, God, I'm struggling in this weight. I'm struggling to see your goodness. Show me. Instead of walking around like I got it all figured out. Girl, who am I trying to fool? Okay. And then again, praise. Praise, 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 praise. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. But why? 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 Because the power of his presence. Not to mention the devil hates it. Loser. Okay. Anyways, I feel like I don't know why this episode has kind of been low-key unhinged. But anyways, I hope that whatever you're waiting on, whatever you're waiting for, I pray that you are encouraged to be honest as you wait. Seek God's word. And praise him. Praise him. Don't wait for the thing to happen. I remember one time I was praising at work. I was worshiping at church and God was like, praise me as if you already have what you're believing me for. Like sometimes we think, oh, I can't wait till God delivers on this. I'm about to praise him. He's about to get all the glory. No, right now, right now. Jump up and down, do a cartwheel, whatever you got to do. Right now, praise him now as if he's already delivered, because he already has. He's giving you the best thing that you could ever ask for. Jesus, salvation. He's given it to you. So anyways, all right. I love you guys. I will talk to you in my next episode. Be blessed. And what did I say? Be blessed and don't sit on your bum and twiddle your thumbs. Don't sit on your bum and twiddle your thumbs. No, you need to talk to God and what is this? What rhymes with God? Loud, rot, mod, cod, bod, sod, tod. What about you need to open your word? Word, alert, curd, murd, dirt, bird, cud. Okay. You need to Jesus, Pisas, Lisas, Mises. Why can't I think of anything that rhymes with God? You need to open your open your heart and let God, wait, open your heart, start, fresh start, okay. You need to open your heart and, you need to open your heart and have a fresh start. Open your heart and have a fresh start. I don't know if I like that or not. You need to praise God. Praise the Lord. Okay. Praise the Lord and da-da-da source. Praise the Lord and fight with the sword. Praise the Lord and fight with the sword. Praise the Lord and fight with the sword. Ay-yay-yay-yay. The sword is the word of God, in case you didn't know. So don't sit on your bum and twiddle your thumbs. Don't sit on your bum and twiddle your thumbs. You need to praise the Lord and fight with the sword. Praise the Lord and fight with the sword. Ay, 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 ay. Okay, I love you guys. Bye.